national news.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. And happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Our starting line is African athletics, and let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Malawian sprinters Stern Lifa and Asmenye Simwaka, who recently set national records at a meet in neighboring Zambia. Joining us now from Blantyre, Malawi, with a feature report is Lamech Masina. Sporty greetings, Lamech!
Sporty greetings from Malawi, Sunny. Indeed, the two athletes, Stern Lifa and Asmenye Simwaka, broke the records after getting bronze medals at the All Corners Track and Field event held last weekend at Heroes Stadium in Lusaka, Zambia. Results from the Athletics Association of Malawi show that Lifa won bronze medal in 100 meters after clocking 10.36 seconds, booking himself a ticket for the Senior Africa Championship slated for June in Algeria, while Asmenye qualified in 400 meters for the Algiers event after clocking 52.59 seconds. Nze Makawa is acting general secretary for Athletics Association of Malawi. He says the achievement is a double win for the country.
One, they have qualified for African Championship in Algeria. The games will take place from 1st June to 5th June. Secondly, they have broken the Malawi records. For example, Asmenye Simwaka, she has broken a record which has been there since 2012. And Stern Lifa has also broken his own record, which is also a Malawi record.
Lifa's previous record was 10.58 seconds, while Asmenye broke the national record of 54.32 seconds set by Ambwene Simkonda at Olympic Games held in London in 2012. Malawi athletics official Nze Makawa credits additional resources with supporting the record-setting efforts.
There are many things. First of all, maybe the athletes themselves, they cannot work hard. And secondly, resources. We didn't have enough resources to put the athletes in camp. But this time, Malawi Olympic Committee assisted us because the athletes have been in camp since December.
Athlete Lifa agrees.
Yeah, this is really true. For example, this is my first time to be in a camp where I have been doing intensive training.
And he, however, says the achievement has motivated him to work extra hard.
I'm just looking for sponsorship like the others do, like the great sprinters. They are not sponsored, they are under sponsored. They can come through Malawi Olympic Committee, then they can find me so that I can be fully sponsored to concentrate on my work I'm doing now.
On her achievement, Asmenye Simwaka, who is also the striker for Malawi National Women's Football Team, said she's excited.
I feel very well. I feel very nice because this is the first time to qualify at the World Championship.
And she says she's looking to become the first Malawi's female athlete to qualify for the Olympic Games.
I'm prepared. I will put God first and I will do it.
Pajis Nyasulu is the coach who helped the athletes turn tables in Zambia.
I'm someone who has experienced so many sporting disciplines. We talk of athletics itself, football, rugby, swimming. So I took some of the sciences of the different sporting disciplines as well to put them, to make these athletes as strong as possible, but also being able to have speed. And together, honestly, we are seeing results that have never been there before.
The athletes have been in camp with support from Malawi Olympic Committee. To appreciate their achievement, the committee has rewarded the athletes and the coach with about $270 each. President of the Malawi Olympic Committee, Japi Muhango, says they are not stopping here.
Going forward as an Olympic committee, we will not let these young men and women go. We will continue keeping them in camp because there are other events coming ahead of us. There will be a competition in Botswana where we want these athletes to go and also compete. And then finally, they will travel to Algeria to compete in the main event. So we will keep them in camp to ensure that they are thoroughly prepared for the upcoming events.
In the meantime, Muhango said the committee has approached the Ministry of Youth and Sports to book the athletes and audience with Malawi's President Lazarus Chakwera. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Lamek Masina in Blantyre, Malawi.
Sporty greetings, everyone. This is Ambassador Mary Onyale, Olympic medalist, five-time African champion in the sprint event. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Mary Onyale represented Team Nigeria at five Olympics, with her last one being the 2004 Athens Games. Nigerian athletes going to the Tokyo Games in July will be competing in a controlled atmosphere with no overseas spectators allowed at the Olympic venues because of the coronavirus pandemic. And one official in Japan's ruling LDP party suggested Thursday the Tokyo Games might be held without any fans at all. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted a former spokesman of the Nigeria Olympic Committee, Tony Nezianya.
My honest reaction is that of disappointment, because the games are about, the beauty of the games are about people, are about the spectators, about people who have traveled all over the world to come and witness a spectacle like the Olympic Games. So for them and for these numerous people to find that the games that were going to be held in Japan is not going to have spectators, will obviously send shockwaves around the world, and people already reacting. They are not happy about it. But for the pandemic that has actually changed the way we live around the world, but for that, people are really upset about it, because they felt that a year after, that things would have taken a better shape.
As a journalist, you covered five Olympic Games. What's the ambience like with spectators?
As a journalist who has covered five Olympic Games to date, it is the spectators that make the games. Ultimately, they are the ones who provide the resources, because if they are watching, then the sponsors are encouraged, you know, to come out, to put in more funds, to sell their goods, to market their products and showcase whatever inventions that has come up. It is true that people support the games. So without spectators, the games are bereft of every fun, bereft of all ideas, bereft of the very things that provide the funding for to back the games.
Do you think that a compromise can be reached to allow some number of spectators or fans to watch the games?
Yes, it is not a question of seeking for compromise. Well, for health reasons, this has become inevitable that they have to cut down on the number of spectators, or in fact, you know, stop the ones that are coming from overseas, and even those that are coming locally. So I wish that we can, the world can cooperate, and for us to chase away this pandemic that has brought untold hardship to people around the world, and it keeps debilitating the world, you know. So I think that it shouldn't be a matter of compromise, but in a matter of life and death now, because a number of people will be affected if you decide to compromise this is the situation. Well, we take it as one of those things. After all, this is not the first time that the world has experienced the cancellation of the Olympics. I think the 1916, the games didn't hold. 1940, the games didn't hold. And even 1944, it didn't hold. All because of the world wars as at the time, you know. But this one is not a war, but something worse than the war. So the world will not be, would like to be reminded of 2021 and 2020 Olympic Games and 2020 that eventually will hold in 2021. It's a disappointment. I want a situation where in future, sometime in future, Japan will be given another opportunity to host the world all over.
That's Tony Nezianya, former spokesman of the Nigeria Olympic Committee. And Tony was talking with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Oka, Nigeria.
Sports greetings. This is Tony Obiora Nezianya, a former spokesman of the Nigeria Olympic Committee. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Peter Clote, the host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. And this is one of the stories we will be covering this Saturday on Nightline Africa. The Zambian governing party unanimously elect incumbent President Edgar Lungu as the presidential candidate for the August general election. Nightline Africa is VOA's weekend Africa show that provides news, features, and entertainment about Africa and the world. Tune in and you'll be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mitchell-Sredovic, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. Now let's go to Ghana, where a former top midfielder for the country's national football team is now coaching Tamale City FC. Joining us now from Accra, Ghana, is Yawafusu Larbi. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Yeah, I'm joining big time. It's been a while since we've seen a Premier team here. A wonderful edifice. We had a Premier League. So we all came down to see what we can do so that we can get a Premier team back in Tamale.
That has been the aim of all Division 1 coaches in Tamale, and it is a plan they are hoping to see through in the coming months. Hamza Mohamed took over the reins at Tamale City Football Club from under-20 World Cup winning coach Salas Tete barely 2 years ago and has elevated them to match up with some of the top guns in Zone 1 of the Division 1 League. He mostly sits quietly on the sidelines, reading the game, issuing orders when he has to, and plays in a way that will make football purists proud. The decision to get his team to play this way has been a tough one, but he's determined to stand by it.
The supporters have to enjoy the game, you know. They came to come and so they have to enjoy no matter the scoreline. So that's what we are adopting. I'm a fan of Arsenal, so definitely I should inculcate. I'm a Ghana, so inculcate says the same listen to. Wherever I am, wherever team that I find myself in.
Long before he got here, though, he tread the same path his players are on now and bossed it. He was a pass master, a midfield king, and controlled things all over in every game he played in. His career on the local scene was illustrious. Winning the MVP in the top four competition in 2005 was one of his biggest achievements. Hamza Mohamed played in every national team, from the Black Starlets to the senior national team, and albeit hitting 40 senior appearances for the Black Stars and scoring 7 goals, he was mostly remembered for this in 1999 at the Under-20 World Cup in Nigeria. That missed opportunity took Ghana out of the competition in the quarterfinal stage, but his status as one of the topmost players was left unscathed. The penalty miss in 1999 was bad, but it does not count in Hamza's regrets as a footballer.
I had the opportunity to play one of the biggest clubs in Tamale, in Ghana, Kumasi Asante Kotoko, Accra, Asofo, King Faisal, and then started with Real Tamale United. Played all the national teams from the 17 to the senior stars, the Black Stars. Until we qualified to the World Cup, it's only one match that I missed. That was against South Africa here in Kumasi, which I... In King Faisal, I won the most MVP, best player for top four, and I was supposed to go to Egypt for my award. So that was why I missed that match. But apart from that, all the matches from Somalia to Kumasi, that I had the opportunity to play all those matches and featured for all those matches. During those qualifiers, we had so many opportunities. But the aim was when you go to the World Cup, you have a better offer. But unfortunately, some of us will not make it to the World Cup. that isn't best known to the authorities or whatever, whatever, which I have no regrets, but every footballer should be in the Mundial, best first. And if I believe if I took that opportunity that came on our way as a foreign-based player, I believe I would have made it to the World Cup. That's the only regret, but hey, life always goes on.
As a young coach, Hamza wants to be one of the best and win things. But first, he has to get it off the mark at Tamale City.
I always call myself a student of the game. I learn a lot. As I said, I started with Coach Salastete, a wonderful man, wonderful coach, and which I still, if I have problems, I still call him to get some notes or whatever, advice from him. Fortunately for me too, in the under 17, Ben Foucault, he's our head, learning a lot from him. My seniors, as I told Mohamed Gago, Senior Tanko, I'm learning a lot from them. I'm learning at least to impact what I got in my career days to the young ones up there. And I want to believe the sky should be the limit for Hamza Mohamed.
When you say the sky should be the limit, where would that limit be?
In the future, maybe to coach the senior national team, that's the Black Stars.
Not Kotoko.
When the opportunity comes, you can never say never. When the opportunity comes, Italy, hey, Fabu, we will always be fabulous. So.
Hamza Mohamed is a legend of the Ghanaian game. And if ever a list of Hall of Famers in the Ghana Premier League is compiled, one of the first names on that list should be his. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fusilabi in Accra.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Press Conference USA. Coming up, a conversation with His Excellency Philippe Etienne, the ambassador of France to the United States. We will talk with the ambassador about the state of transatlantic relations, French politics, France's efforts to expand ties with Anglophone Africa, and much more. That's Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Samson Omale joins us now with a big package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson!
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sunny. We begin the wrap of this weekend's African sports news in Kenya, where that country's sports cabinet secretary, Amna Mohamed, says she will await direction from the Ministry of Health regarding the resumption of sports activities in the country. The sports secretary is hoping that the COVID-19 numbers will stabilize soon to allow sports people back to training and competition.
There's always hope, depending on the numbers, the trend that we see with the pandemic and how the virus will behave in our country. You know, I think that you've had my colleagues from the Ministry of Health talk about the surge that happened. The numbers seem to be kind of stabilizing, but they're still too high. And so we'll be looking to them for leadership, for guidance on when they think it's safe to actually start gradually opening up the sporting space.
Sporting activities were suspended on the 29th of March due to the third wave of the coronavirus in Kenya. Amina Mohamed also spoke of the 100-day countdown to the Tokyo Olympic Games, describing Kenya's decision to join Tokyo in the countdown as the National Olympic Committee's determination and commitment to the athletes preparing for the Games.
With 100 days to the Olympics, we're ready to rewrite history. Kenya, as you all know, is the most successful Olympic nation on our continent.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Former world marathon champion Paul Tergat is the president of Olympic Kenya. He shares his thoughts on the countdown and Kenya's preparation for the Olympic Games.
We have had a lot of challenges in terms of this pandemic that has been with us. It only takes a very strong mind to be able to cope both mentally and emotionally.
Staying with athletics, the first batch of Ugandan athletes to the Tokyo Olympic Games are expected to arrive at their Izumo Seano camp in Japan in May. For now, Team Uganda has so far confirmed 23 athletes to the Games. These include 19 track athletes, 3 boxers and 1 rower. Uganda Minister for Sports Samson Obua believes the East African country has what it takes to add to the tally of qualified athletes with barely 2 months left to the closure of the qualifying window for the Tokyo Olympics.
We continue to participate in the lined up championship that are meant for qualification for Olympics. You are aware that in the post-independence history of Uganda, we are going to register the highest number of athletes in this year's Olympic. A number of our athletes, especially under Uganda Athletics Federation, are training in Kapchorwa, both for the mainstream Olympics and the Paralympics. And I believe if I get an opportunity, I will also be able to interface with them.
And still staying with African delegations to the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, South African Olympic Committee has been giving details of the uniqueness and participation guidelines for athletes who will be participating at the Games. Beside the uncertainty around vaccinations and fluctuating COVID-19 infections worldwide, South Africa will be sending a delegation to the Tokyo Olympic Games in less than 100 days' time. Dr. Pathukule Zondi, Team South Africa Chief Medical Officer, explained that there will be no shouting and hugging to celebrate wins, while testing for COVID-19 every 4 days are part of the protocols that will be enforced during the Games.
And this is going to be an interesting one, specifically for African countries that like to celebrate. So one of the guidelines that have been put into place is they are going to discourage shouting and singing to encourage our athletes as they participate, but rather encourage us to just clap. And it makes sense in terms of obviously limiting respiratory spread of droplets. These will not be a games as usual. One of the key things about the games and the excitement about the games is really the level of interaction between athletes, not only within your own country, but also with other countries. That becomes a really critical experience or core experience of past games. We have to comply with principles, which include only being able to travel to IOC-designated places, which are, in the case of athletes, the Olympic Village, the training venue, and competition venue. So there will be no touring, there will be no traveling, there will be no going to restaurants, there will be no, you know, Olympic houses like we are used to them. And that's quite significant. Even within the village, there will be restrictions where before, you know, it's a vibrant, active space, there's a lot that's going on that athletes are engaging and interacting with. This is going to be very different because obviously we need to be sure that we limit the risk of infection between athletes.
Ahead of the Games, South Africa Under-23 coach David Nyatoni has announced his squad that will represent the country at the 2020 Olympic Games in Tokyo. The coach assured South Africans during his media rally on Thursday that they are making all the necessary adjustments to adhere to all the COVID-19 protocols while staying focused on their preparation now that it's certain that the Olympic Games will go ahead.
Having announced that squad of 78, that a lot of people thought is too big, but we're necessarily saying that this is how wide our pool is that is available for the Olympics. Ideally, we wanted to have international competition. We had invitations to go play countries like Australia, in Qatar. Of course, we wanted to take advantage because then Qatar was open. But behind the scenes, we're also aware that that was a possibility, and we put together a tour in Eteguini. Then we opted to play two friendly matches with our professional teams. It's a very difficult one, but it's the work that is before us, and we continue to assess and monitor these players at their clubs, and we look forward to the June camp especially, where we think that you know, would be 80% there in terms of our final squad composition, so that when we come to the Olympic preparation camp, we are as close as possible to the final squad.
Away from the 2020 Olympic Games to cycling, the Ugandan national cycling team has pulled out of the Sierra Leone leg of the African Cycling Tour. This follows failure to acquire resources in time to facilitate the team's travel. Uganda was gearing to participate in the Tour de Lusso of Sierra Leone with a view of accumulating points to aid qualification to the World Cycling Championship. Reverend Patrick Samambo, one of the cycling officials, says they will use the funds that were acquired late to field a team in one of the five remaining tours across the world.
Now, we needed two tournaments for us to gain more points because we had already got over 70 points in the African Continental Championship. So when we looked at, because we are getting funds, we are getting funded by Uganda People's Defense Forces, this tournament going to Sierra Leone. But we thought it's not wise for us to use public money, government funds, to go to Sierra Leone for tour, for visit, because the race had already started.
In volleyball news, the 2021 Confederation of African Volleyball Men's African Volleyball Club Championship will serve off from April 16th to the 28th in Sousse, Tunisia. The event will mark the 40th edition of the championship, with clubs from across Africa participating. And now to football news, and we begin with women's football. Zambia will be the only country to represent Africa at the women's football event at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. This was after Cameroon women's failed to qualify for the second time in a row after a drab 0-0 draw against Chile in the CAF Commonwealth Intercontinental Playoff second leg played earlier this week in Antalya, Turkey. The Lionesses suffered a huge setback in the first leg after falling to La Roja 2-1, allowing the South Americans to progress following a 2-1 aggregate triumph. After edging Cameroon, Chile will now join Australia, Brazil, Canada, China, Great Britain, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Sweden, holders the USA, Zambia, and host Japan to complete the 12 teams at the Games. Former Cameroon national football coach and Dutch football star Clarence Seedorf, who is a vocal advocate about combating racism and hate speech within the football industry, wants players who cover their lips to hide their words on the field sanctioned with yellow cards. Speaking at an online event organized by the Council of Europe between leading figures from the world of sport, anti-racism and anti-discrimination, Clarence Seedorf also called on major sporting bodies such as FIFA and UEFA to urge fans to send video footage of racist or xenophobic behavior to relevant authorities. African players have been at the receiving end of racist abuse, especially in football across Europe.
There are no black coaches, there are no black managers, there are no, and I can, and it's, when I say black, I mean all those, there's no equality, there's no inclusion whatsoever in the main organization itself. So I think that's where we need to start as well, to lead by example. And then from there you have, I think, a much better position also to ask other people to change. We're talking about sport, it has to be transparent. So why would I cover my mouth if I need to say something to my adversary? If I talk with my coach, I talk with my teammate, all fine. But when I approach the referee, when I approach another player, another adversary in any sports, you're not allowed to cough him out. If you do that, that has to be a sanction. It has to be a yellow card, whatever it is, because we should avoid that kind of behavior. If it wasn't for the people around George Floyd, today we would not be speaking and we would not have had the movement around all that happened, and we would not have that police officer now going to the trial.
Staying with football news, Super Eagles captain Ahmed Musa is on the verge of linking up with a local football club in Nigeria, the Kano Pillars, on a short-term contract. The 28-year-old has been without the club since leaving Saudi Arabia professional league club Al Nassr last October. The versatile winger featured in Nigeria's 2021 African Cup of Nations qualifying tie against Lesotho last month, despite his inactivity at club level.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson O'Malley with another extra spicy package of African sports news.
Sporting greetings. This is William Chosekong from Watford Football Club and Nigeria Super Eagles. You're listening to the Sunny Sides of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, William. In National Basketball Association action Thursday night, the Boston Celtics beat the defending champion Los Angeles Lakers 121-113 in a matchup between the two most successful teams in league history. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
Jaylen Brown scored 40 points, and the Celtics held off a late Lakers rally to win their fifth straight 121-113. Brown made 17 of 20 shots and ended up 2 points shy of his career high.
Celtics-Lakers matchup is a matchup that, you know, kids dream about. So regardless of who's on the court, I'm excited to play. You know, that energy, having those Lakers fans back in the arena, we just wanted to come out and get a win.
But it was nearly an embarrassing finish for the Celtics as they saw their 27-point fourth-quarter lead cut to just 5 in the final minute. But Brown made 2 baskets to help secure the win. I am Mark Myers.
And that wraps up the April 16th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in, and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, And that's the sunny side of sports.